I recently read a quote that went something like, "A healthy person has 1,000 wishes. An unhealthy person only has one." In a time where we're being told that our health relies on other people wearing masks, or that our genetics make it impossible to live healthy lives, it can be difficult to push through all that nonsense and make moves towards something that we can do to improve our physical health and levels of fitness. In spite of what the media is trying to push on us, we can still take ownership of our own personal levels of fitness, regardless of our individual ailments. In today's episode, I'll focus on the first element in the FIRE acronym that I personally use in my life to help refine myself, and I'll share how using this strategy can help you in all important areas of your life as well. We feel like it's up to us to hold the line as we light this spark within ourselves. It comes from way deep down inside. We're so sick of the status quo. We are here to let you know. Unaddressed problems are a liability. Core values, the brotherhood you need. Accountability. Ignited we stand. Ignited we fall. Remember if you see a need, own it and take action. Ignited we stand. Ignited we fall. Be the ideal firefighter you'd want on your crew. Be ignited. As a firefighter and paramedic, it's been a minimal standard to maintain a level of physical fitness that allows me to effectively perform the duties asked of me. It's an honor to do the job that I love, and it's that sense of honor that drives my dedication to keeping myself in optimal physical condition. My knowledge and skill set is based on my desire to perform exceptionally in a career aspect, but regardless of what your motivation is and what your career is, when you refine yourself in the four FIRE categories, you'll be better prepared to deal with any challenge that life can throw at you. A lot of people talk about achieving balance as if we're some set of stones by a river or a hiking trail, like some kind of cairn. While these cairns you see along those trails may be in balance and will remain as they are until something disturbs them, like people or wind or rain or whatever, we as living beings require constant attention and micro corrections to remain in balance. It's an ongoing practice. It isn't like a one and done. For example, and you've probably heard me give you this analogy before, but think of the last time you stood on one foot. Did you just lock yourself in a place and you were good? Or were there continual movements and small muscle corrections that you were making to help keep you upright? What about the last time you rode a bike? Did you continually make small corrections to make sure you stayed up? The thing I really like about the bicycle analogy is that not only do you have to keep making corrections along your way, but you've got to keep moving in order to stay up. Similar to life, right? In this four-part podcast series, I'll touch on each of the four FIRE categories that, if put into play, will help introduce purpose and help you keep balance throughout your life. And not just balance, but growth and refinement along the way. As a reminder, the four FIRE categories are fitness, intellect, relationships, and energy. In today's episode, I'll focus on fitness, the first part. I will express to you the benefits of being physically fit, how paying attention to what it is you're putting into your body ties into that, and I'll give you a framework for structuring a workout so you'll never feel lost walking into your local gym. So let's start with the benefits of being physically fit. It's really a no-brainer that being fit brings ease to all other aspects of your life. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention put out a publication talking about the benefits of physical activity, and in it, they said, being physically active can improve your brain health, help manage weight, reduce the risk of disease, strengthen bones and muscles, and improve your ability to do everyday activities. Now, this sounds like a lot of common sense, but you would be surprised at how many people know this basic information, but they don't take action on it. Taking action is the great separator from those who get results and those who don't. At the bare minimum, we should be getting at least 40 minutes of exercise a day. That's about 2.5 hours a week. And if you think about it, you've got 168 hours in a week. If you spent 2.5 hours a week exercising, that's about 0.01% of your time per week. You ready for a real big guilt trip now? The average person spends about 2.5 hours on social media per day. Per day. I don't really want to guilt you into taking action. That's not my goal here. But I do want to point out that guilt can be a hell of a motivator. I share these numbers with you to help give you some perspective on what we're all guilty of. I'm guilty of it too, guys. I'm not innocent here. I'm not trying to demonize social media here. Also, I understand that social media is a great tool to connect with people, and honestly, it's how I'm connecting with you right now. However, when you're going down a scroll hole, you're allowing the meaningless to steal your time, which is your most precious asset. Let me share with you some ways that physical activity contributes to your life. This list here is specifically from the American Heart Association. So, number one, it's a natural mood lifter. Exercise is a natural mood lifter. When you actively move your body, your brain releases endorphins, which are those little magical peptides that block pain and increase your sense of happiness and well-being. So your stress levels go down, your anxiety goes down, depression subsides, and anger tends to disappear. I know it does for me, anyway. Exercise is like the perfect thing to get addicted to, quite honestly, unless you don't go too extreme. Most people notice they feel better over time as physical activity becomes a regular part of their lives. And this is the ultimate goal, right? To instill exercise into a regular part of your life, creating a lifestyle rather than in some box you have to check. Number two, it keeps you physically fit and able. If we slow down, our bodies slow down. It loses strength and stamina, and it loses its ability to function properly. It's like that old saying, you don't stop moving from growing old, you grow old from stopping moving. Regular exercise increases muscle strength, which in turn increases your ability to do pretty much everything else. The more muscle mass you have, the more able you are to ward off illness, disease, and injury. Number three, it helps keep the doctor away. Too many of us are sitting, to the point that we have smartwatches that tell us to get up off our asses if we spend too much time on them. One study showed that people who watch more than 4 hours of television a day had an 80% higher risk of death from cardiovascular disease. Now, that is not from watching television. It's from sitting on your ass while you're watching television. So don't get this wrong. You're not 80% higher risk of death from cardiovascular disease because you watch television. You're 80% higher risk of death from cardiovascular disease because you're sitting on your ass all the time. What a downer, right? How am I supposed to catch up on Yellowstone? No, but really, trying to go for a walk on the treadmill, not trying, but try to go for a walk on the treadmill while you're watching your favorite show. I see people do this all the time at the gym. And honestly, one of the coolest things about the gym I go to EOS, they have a cinema, like a cardio cinema. You go into this basically movie theater where the lights are low, the air conditioning's dropped a little bit, and they have this giant movie screen and it plays movies. They play movies every day. You can just hop on a treadmill and just walk the whole time you're watching a movie. It's amazing. I highly, highly encourage it. So not only is it promoting you doing something while you're watching your show, but it's kind of like a little built-in reward, right, for getting your exercise in. Number four, it can help you live longer. I looked at a picture of the cast of Cheers the other day, and it showed me that Ted Danson was only 35 years old when that show started filming. He looked so old, you guys. He looked so old. It was a show about sitting around a bar all day drinking. I mean, it's in the name, right? Cheers. I know it was just a show, but art imitates life, right? I am amazed when I put eyes on people who are living sedentary lives, and then they just look so old. But oftentimes when I run on them and when I'm asking them when their birthday is or how old they are, I find out that they're younger than me. I say this not with any pride, but with humility in the byproducts of how being active has helped me keep my youth. It's helped me keep my youth mentally and physically. Staying active helps you delay or prevent chronic illnesses and diseases associated with aging. And for those of you that can't currently work in the, or that aren't, sorry, I'm getting tongue-tied. This is a little late for me. I'm kind of pushing this one. I've had a real busy day. Those of you who are currently working in the field, I'm sure you notice how active adults maintain their quality of life and independence longer as they age. You know, you see people out walking around, you see people playing pickleball, or you can see people sitting in a room all day doing nothing but sitting. Now that we've kind of talked about the fitness element, let's talk a little bit about how nutrition plays a part. You are what you eat, folks. It's really that simple. You know it. I know it. The more you ingest greasy fried foods and foods full of sugar, the more inflammation will occur in your body. And as inflammation occurs, the more your body breaks down. We want to eat foods that will help build us. Protein, carbs, fats. These are healthy versions of... I'm sorry. There are healthy versions of these, and there are unhealthy versions of these. I'm getting all tongue-tied right now, guys. It rarely happens. But again, I'm a little tired. It's a little late. Let's push through, right? Depending on what your fitness goals are, you can play with these macronutrients like protein, carbs, and fats. That's what those are, macronutrients. If you're looking to build muscle, you want to increase your carb intake to about 50% and your protein intake to about 30%, leaving your fats coming in at about 20%. And if you're looking to lose fat or lose weight, fat specifically, you don't typically necessarily want to lose weight, but if you want to lose fat, then your protein needs to go up to about 50% while your fats are around 40% and your carbs max out at about 20%. So your carb intake is low and your protein intake is high. And again, if you're looking to build, you want your carb and protein to be high and your fats to be low. It's science. It's the macronutrient pie chart. I know I've posted pictures of it before, but I'll be sure to post pictures of that again. I can't really give specific nutrition advice via this podcast. I am a certified nutrition coach, but I can do that within our private coaching group called The Forge. But for now, I'll give you some tips to help you get on your journey. So let me share with you some simple guidelines. When you eat a meal, you should have a serving of protein about the size of the palm of your hand. You should have a serving of vegetables about the size of your closed fist. You should have a serving of carbs that's about the size of your cupped hand. It should be enough to fit in your cupped hand. And then you should have a serving of fats the size of your thumb. So that's like the oils that the food's cooked in, or maybe a dressing of some sort. In the show notes, I've provided a fillable PDF that you can download for free and use to help hone your nutrition in. It gives you a great little guide, set of guidelines that you can use to kind of individualize a plan for yourself. Finally, let me share with you a basic framework for structuring a workout. I am all about quantity. It is late, guys. It is late. Let's start over. I am all about quality over quantity. My mind is fried, you guys. The same rule goes for my time spent in the gym. I don't want or need to spend 2 to 3 hours in the gym to get the results that I'm looking for. That being said, I'm going to share with you how I structure a workout. So my basic approach to a workout is to spend no more than 60 minutes in the gym. The first 5 minutes is doing a warm-up or an activation set that includes bodyweight exercises and dynamic movements that mimic the movements that I'm about to perform. And once I'm warmed up, typically manifested by the moisture on my skin, I move into my strength training session. I choose my strength training session based on what muscle group I want to work, and that consists of one of four movements: an upper body push, an upper body pull, a lower body push, or a lower body pull. So let's start with an example of an upper body push. I want to do what I call a full house. That's three exercises of the large muscle group, followed by two exercises of the smaller muscle group. So for an upper body push, I'll do three exercises that focus on the chest, whether it's like a flat bench, incline bench, flies, whatever, and then two exercises that focus on the triceps. So like a bench dip or a tricep extension, something like that. For an upper body pull, I would do three exercises for my back and then two exercises for my biceps. For a lower body push, I would focus on quads, glutes, and calves. And for my lower body pull, I would focus on my psoas, my hamstrings, and my lower back. And lately, I've been doing four sets of each exercise with this rep regimen. I go 15, 12, 8, and 4. And on that last set of four, that's like me at my max. That's like four reps of my max load. And then I drop down I drop the weight by about 50% and I do a burnout. So my rep regimen goes 15, 12, 8, and then 4, drop by 50% and burn out. And I've seen great results with this, you guys, in strength and muscle building. And I think I'm going to keep up with it over the next quarter. Maybe after this next quarter, I'll switch it up to a longer, like, daily hit regimen, like a high intensity interval training regimen. But we'll see. I'm really liking how this 15, 12, 8, and 4 max out or burnout is working. I really like it. Anyway, after my strength training session, I move into my cardio session. This consists of 10 minutes of high intensity training or high intensity interval training specifically, usually on a treadmill or an elliptical. I'll get on the treadmill and I'll set the incline to no less than 4, and I don't allow the belt to go any slower than 5.5. So I'll run for a minute and then I'll walk or rest for 30 seconds. And I'll do that for 10 minutes. I'll do that interval for 10 minutes. And that leaves 5 minutes after all of it for stretching the muscle group that I just worked during my strength training session. You never, never, never want to stretch before you work out. Your body has a natural protection system built in so that it won't allow you to go further than you should during a workout. If you stretch before your workout, you remove your body's natural ability to protect itself and go past that barrier point, resulting in tears, strains, and injury. Don't do it, guys. Stretch after you lift, not before. So that's 5 minutes for a proper warm-up, 40 minutes for strength training, 10 minutes for cardio, and 5 minutes for stretching. That's a quality 60-minute workout, guys. And as you go through the week, you cycle through your respective muscle groups that I mentioned earlier. Fitness is merely a part of the fire that will refine us into the best versions of ourselves, you guys. With a proper attention to our fitness, we can pave the way for the rest of the elements to fall into place. As we refine and pay attention to our bodies, we can become more in tune with our minds, which leads us to better relationships, which ultimately allows us to harness the energy that feeds us. Consistency over time is key, and accountability is crucial. If you're looking for a framework to ignite your fire and practically apply the principles that I talk about in this podcast but don't know where to start, then I highly encourage you to join The Forge. Quarter two starts on April 3rd. You got 1 week. 1 week, guys. Get in the club. Get in The Forge. Inside The Forge, we work on refining ourselves by igniting our internal fire. We focus on our fitness, our intellect, relationships, and energy. And through this framework, we will set goals and complete daily objectives that will help us reach our unique goals. I say we because I'm in here too, guys. I'm in there with you. I'm doing it with you. This is something that I practice. I'm not just preaching it, right? I practice what I preach. So inside the Forge, you'll get access to a quarterly goal planning template that I've created based specifically on building your inner fire, right? And feeding your inner fire. The categories I just mentioned, so I'm not going to beat that dead horse. You get access to the private Facebook group and all the events and resources within. You get a hard copy of the book selection for study and discussion. I send that to you. You get a 50-page workbook based on that reading selection. And you get weekly accountability meetings with me and other Forge members to share our experiences and help support each other through our challenges. So join the ranks of others who are looking to feed their fire and become much stronger for it. Click the link in the show notes or in my bio and fill out an application. Once I receive it, I'll contact you and personally get you all set up. We start next week, guys. Let's lock and load. Pull the trigger on this. Invest in yourself. Set up systems of accountability. You will be amazed at what you get done in 12 weeks. Most people can't even hold a flame to what you'll get done in 12 weeks because they won't be able to even do it in 12 months. So join the Forge, guys. Click the link, join the Forge. That wraps it up for this episode, this special episode of the Ignited Firefighter Podcast. This is part one of four that will focus specifically on how we can feed our fire, the elements that are involved, and the action we can take in refining each category and ultimately ourselves as a whole. Thanks again, and until next time, if you see a need, own it and take action. Be the firefighter you would want on your crew. Feed your fire. Be ignited.